All right, everybody, welcome to part four of Exposure Theory. I'm your host, Mikey Goddamn G. All right. So part four, I just want to kind of go over anything I left out in parts one, two, and three, because I tend to go all over the place sometimes, but I do tend to stick to the topic for the most part. We'll do the testimonials here in a few moments. Let's see.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
I want to make sure my last video actually saved. That was a shit show. Okay, great. My last video actually did save. Cool. Let's see. All right, so some of the things I forgot to go over. You do want to buy and hold certain assets forever. Stocks, I think you should hold forever. Bonds, I think you should hold forever if you're exposed to the total bond market through the ETF because it gives a constant income. And so does dividend stocks to your portfolio. So that's good. You want income into your portfolio so you can buy more assets. So certain assets you hold forever. Some assets you only hold for about 5 or 10 years, let them appreciate and sell them off. That's kind of my philosophy on it. So like gold, silver, and all that, give it 5 or 10 years, sell it at a higher price, and maybe buy, I don't know, buy something, buy different assets. It's tough to say. Or just keep the cash. Honestly, just keep the cash on hand. That's one thing you can do. Wait for bear markets. I think exposure theory is definitely, you know, very stock friendly. I'm very much a stocks guy, and I do believe that stocks are the superior asset class because they're productive assets, and I think productive assets are really key to a successful portfolio. But I also believe that buying stocks at different times is important too. So I do have, I call it dollar cost weighting. All right. So dollar cost weighting is a weird one. It doesn't make a lot of sense at first. The name doesn't, at least. It's a weird name. So the whole concept is to let's say normal markets, like, you know, maybe we're going like a normal bull run, right? I am going to put only 10 to 15% of whatever cash is coming into me into stocks, basically. And if it's kind of a neutral playing field, like there's no real upward movement, I'm going to put a little bit more, put 20, 25% of my income of cash into stocks. Now, if there's dips that have been happening weekly, I'm going to be putting down more, putting down like 30, 35%. And if there's an absolute bear market to the point where it's almost like destitute, like we're talking about like markets really, really dipped, or a market crash has happened, like we're down like 20, 30%, I'm putting majority of my money in, 50 to 60% of it, buy and hold, great companies, whatever I can get a hold of, preferably dividend stocks, because I'm a little bit of a yield chaser, but I'm going to at least make sure that I'm exposed to like some high yield dividend ETFs that are diversified. That's my stick. You guys can do whatever you want. But I love dividend ETFs. Anyway, I love dividend stocks. I don't care. Because I like income. but I think that buying during bear markets, like putting a lot more money down during bear markets, is, in my opinion, smart. It's not financial advice, by the way, just financial theory. And that you just want to put a normal amount of money, like 15 to 20% of your income, into stocks during normal times. When stocks are kind of up, during an absolute bull run where it's like kind of clownery, maybe 5%. Like, we're talking about, like, the stock market just keeps going up and up and up every single fucking week. It's where you kind of have to be a little suspicious and be like, okay, only 5%, but when it starts dipping back down for a bit, you want to then up the ante. It's tough. It's a weird theory. I don't even know how much ground it really holds. It's more like a shitty hypothesis. more than anything. But it's interesting. Gets my wiener hard at the end of the day. But that's pretty much exposure theory in a nutshell. What else did I leave out? Waiting for the most part, portfolio waiting, where you like say, hey, 20% stock, 40% stocks, 20% bonds. Waiting doesn't really truly matter in the end. What really matters is, are you exposed to things that are valuable or not? That's what really matters in exposure theory. Am I exposed to assets and within asset classes that are really valuable? They're actually valuable. Roughly 20% of your portfolio should be specific assets that you swing trade. 15 to 20% of my portfolio is swing trading the BITI, B-I-T-I. That's an ETF that allows me to bet against the price of Bitcoin because I believe Bitcoin is stupid. I do own Bitcoin. I bought it very early on, so I figured it would be smart of me to bet against my existing Bitcoin position. Not everybody has that luxury, though. But if you do have a lot, if you bought Bitcoin early and never sold, you can bet against it, just to let you guys know. I pretty much covered all the things I want to cover. I guess we'll just do the testimonials. Exposure theory is a work in progress. This is more of a rough draft, more of a brainstorm, because like I'm a very sloppy investor. I'm buy and hold, though. I'm diversified and I buy and hold. So I have two of the key ingredients to a successful investor. Am I exposed to maybe a little too much? Probably. Time will tell. But I do believe that exposure theory is a pretty solid, interesting way of investing. I really do. It keeps you upright during volatile times, provides you income through bonds. Keeps you exposed to cash when you really need cash. So you're encouraging yourself to maybe hold some cash to the side in your brokerage account. That's a good thing. So let's go over the testimonials for exposure theory. So meet Kevin. Oh, okay. This is pretty big. Meet Kevin is pretty big. I shut down my Pete. Now, this is what he said. This based on the quote. This is a quote I got in an email. So he maybe didn't even say this, but testimonial says, I shut down my PP ETF and started the exposed PP ETF instead. It's called exposed PP. That's a little sketch. Is he talking about exposing his actual PP? Ugh. What a freak. Anyway, these strategies work. Too bad my PP doesn't. Oh, meet Kevin, you're so funny. That was a meet Kevin one. Strong man. Okay, let's see. Now, Jeremy LaFave, I did Jeremy LaFave's. We'll do Jeremy's real quick. We'll revisit this real fast. Jeremy LaFave said, my hair grew its color back, and I'm now stress-free thanks to exposure theory. Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate you, bud. Strongman Personal Finance says, I sold all my VT, Vanguard Total World Index, for Meet Kevin's PP, then sold my PP to buy 1 million copies of Exposure Theory. It's not a cult, I swear. Woo! Thank you, Strongman. I appreciate that. And then my stepbro, Andre Deek, he says, I thought Exposure Theory was about exposing yourself in public. Now I'm in jail. Can this magician escape? I think Andre G can. He's better than Houdini. He's the best magician of all time. So, in conclusion, exposure theory is really meant is really about diversification in the long run. Diversification without the need for portfolio weighting. We're not caring about it, at least. Or at least not putting as much emphasis, I should say, on it. Because I do weight my portfolio a little bit. Like I said, I do. I'm like, hey, I'm going to put 10% of my overall portfolio should be cash. Just so that way I could have it whenever I need it. Maybe I want to buy more stocks, stuff like that. Let's see. But yeah, really, I'm not. I did say 20%. Should be swing traded. You should find something specific that you could swing trade within your portfolio. And 20% of your portfolio should be that thing that you're swing trading. I think swing trading does offer ways to get a little bit of income for the portfolio, but it should not be your entire portfolio, only 20% roughly. Now, if your swing trading adventures end up making the making it go from 20 to 30 to 40% of your portfolio, then so be it. That's fine. If the Biddy ETF that I swing trade all the time went up to the moon, I'm not going to complain about it because I don't even care how much my portfolio takes up because Bitcoin's worthless. And I think it's worthwhile betting against Bitcoin using the Biddy. And I'll go off on a tangent. Okay, so in conclusion, it's all about diversification without giving two shits about portfolio weighting. The goal is just expose yourself to valuable assets. And make sure that while you're getting exposed to valuable assets, you want to make sure that they're assets in different asset classes. Simple, easy, what have you. And also, not just asset classes, asset strategies. Different ones like cover call ETFs, leverage ETFs, just exposure to those is good too. It's a crazy theory, I'll admit it. You could call me a grifter, but if I was grifting, I would be trying to sell this as a course, but I'm not. I think it's a very incomplete theory and it still needs polishing, but it's fun. It really is fun. And I always recommend that you talk to a financial advisor. Do your own homework, please. You don't want to just rely on my theories. You want to work with a financial advisor, a real expert. I consider myself very experienced, but I don't I'm an expert, but I'm not an official expert, at least not under the law. So that's why none of this is ever financial advice, just entertainment theory only. And that's the way that it should be reflected as, so at least seen. So I really hope that you guys got something valuable out of this. Really, truthfully, I want to see people succeed. I think that being exposed to as many different asset classes as you can get exposed to is going to be really helpful to you. And I wish you nothing but luck. And not luck. There's no luck in anything like this. Just be diversified and expose yourself to whatever you can and just buy and hold. Just hold what your assets, save your assets. I'm going to revisit that last key point. The root of this is save your assets, not your money. And I got that from my boy, not Paul Sheely, Peter Schiff. Got that from Peter Schiff. And it's a very good piece of wisdom. Save your assets, not your money. We've been trained to save our money and sell our assets. But what we need to do, remember, the whole goal is save your assets, not your money. That's the key. And I hope you guys take away something from this. This is all for educational purposes and just to see what I could do to help. Because I really do want to help everybody out by giving you a foundation. And I would still go over what I've gone over with you. Talk to your financial advisor, see if your financial advisor concurs. That probably won't. It's a crazy theory. But I hope, as far as portfolio theory goes, I hope it makes some sense to someone out there. Anyway, later, everybody, and Godspeed.